Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the next in the series of the Value Positive podcast. Today, we're focusing heavily on diversity and inclusion. And I'm really excited to be able to be joined by Donna Howard, who's the head of social sustainability for Kier Transportation. And I'm really proud to be able to confirm also they have just achieved the Social Value Quality Mark Gold, the first infrastructure organisation in the country to achieve that, which is fantastic. A testimony to their commitment and support to social value for sure. This distinguishes Kier Transport from the highest standards of social and community focus. And one of the areas that we wanted to really draw out as part of the podcast today is what we found to be Kier's exemplary approach to diversity and inclusion. And actually, one of the auditors from the Social Value Quality Mark actually said it's generally industry leading. So we're very keen to find out why and how and some of those tools and tips and insight from Donna today. And Donna's been driving force behind it and has been for over 10 years, leading the charge within this area and across the whole group. And certainly passionate about the subject as well, which is fantastic. Hi, Donna. Nice to meet you. Are you well?
Well, thank you very much, Richard. Thanks very much for having me on today. It's really good.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So we'll dive straight into it. And just kind of thinking of that initial question really was resonating with me is, what was the starting point? What was the starting point for Kier Transportation thinking about diversity and inclusion, perhaps more of a development area, more of an area to look at as opposed to quite a passive thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really pleased to say that obviously we've been working with sort of social value business for a number of years now, and we absolutely took on board what the recommendations were when we did some audits sort of in previous years. And obviously diversity and inclusion were one of the points that sort of came up of things where areas we could improve slightly. And Kier Transportation, we're always a really forward-thinking organisation, and we like to stand out from the crowd. So we wanted to sort of look at how can we genuinely make a difference in this area and in our business. And obviously, as you've already mentioned, Rich, we work in the construction infrastructure mm-hmm. sector, and it is a sector that everybody will be fully aware that it's very much male dominated. So historically, it's not been a very diverse workforce that sort of works in the sector. And this is what we wanted to kind of pick up and run with and see how we could change that. Because it's a sector that has got a huge skill shortage. And in order for the sector of our organisation to be genuinely successful, we need to really look at the diversity of our business and the workforce. And that's what we've sort of focused on. We're like, how can we be a successful business and also make a difference in the communities, in society, in general? And diversity and inclusion plays an absolutely huge part in that. So, yeah, we've kind of tackled that head on and looked at what we can put in place to sort of make those changes for the better and have those positive impacts. And it is genuinely making a difference. And we are seeing such positive impacts in the business from looking at things slightly differently to ensure that we do have a genuine diverse workforce and that diverse of sort of thought in and around the business. And that goes from the top down to the bottom. So, yeah, I think that's been one of the really sort of significant changes in the driving forces that we've had over the last few years.
So when you started to plan this, what was that, you know, when you sat down around a table or over a coffee and said, OK, we need to do things perhaps slightly different, what was the initial end goal, or was there an end goal?
The end goal is to have that diverse workforce. It's diverse thinking. And we don't want to just employ people that look like us, or we just go with the norm. We want to be able to give people opportunities to come into the sector and look at careers in the sector as a genuine career opportunity. And to do that, it was do you know what? We need to break away from the norm. And it obviously starts with sort of the inspiring the next generation into the industry. It's looking at our recruitment processes. It's looking at all different initiatives that we can put in place that are going to help us to bring these fantastic people into our business who sometimes we're recruiting from areas that is an untapped talent pool. So you take, for instance, the work that we're doing around prison leaver engagement. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit different. And you know what? There's lots of people who are sort of getting ready to leave prison once they've sort of served their sentence, and they want a genuine second chance. They want to sort of be on that rehabilitation period, and they need some support in that. So our initiatives, the Making Ground program that we've got in place, is an absolute fantastic tool to help these people to start their career in the industry and build on the skills that they've already got. Because as I mentioned, it's an absolute untapped talent pool, and that's just one area of focus that we've been looking on. And we've really looked at different ways we can think outside the box to get that diverse workforce in our business, because you know what, that does mean success for us, because we can't recruit the same kind of people and expect to see something different. We need to have those different mindsets coming into the business with the different thought processes to help us be successful.
It's so true. We are effectively living in a very diverse society. You know, we're borderless in many ways. Despite what Brexit may or may not influence. But I think it's good to see that organisations are being more creative. And I think the sector in which you're operating, Donna, I think in many ways they've led the charge, certainly on the social value aspect, and obviously diversity and inclusion being part of that. There's so many lessons that other sectors can take away. Just thinking about the listeners really today and some of the barriers that they may face to trying to do things a little bit different, as you say. How did you go about, and what was the buy-in from the senior management team?
Do you know what? I'm really fortunate to have a really fantastic forward-thinking senior leadership team in our business. And getting buy-in has been really easy to say, if you like, because we've got a senior leadership team that absolutely understands where we're coming from and where we want to go. And what we sort of need to do to get us to that end goal. So not only have we sort of got the buy-in from them, they're so fully engaged in this process. They've taken part in the training programs that we've sort of had on offer, the engagement with organisations such as National Centre for Diversity, where we've gone through Masters in Diversity. We are Leaders in Diversity accredited, and we don't get that by me just driving that forward. I need that senior leadership team. And it's so brilliant that we've got that support from them. So it is a genuine sort of top level approach down. So I've got our GMD, I've got our people director who absolutely drive this forwards in their senior leadership meetings. They drive it forwards in our roadshows. We're getting this message out to everybody so that people are not just seeing it as though it's a nice to have, it's another initiative. Actually, diversity inclusion is fully embedded in every aspect of our business because it affects every aspect of our business. So having that support from them has really helped us to get to the position that we are in today. And without that, it really wouldn't have happened. And we don't just stop there. I mean, we've gone through different accreditations, and we're always wanting to improve on that. And that is for me getting genuine support from that senior leadership team to help us make that difference. The fact that they commit to everybody's undertaking these training opportunities. It's not just a sort of box ticking exercise of we need to do an e-learning. Actually, we go above and beyond that. It's not just e-learning that we do. We have physical diversity programs in place that help educate people in and around the areas of diversity inclusion, so that we're raising awareness and we're helping people to understand the topics that are involved in sort of the diversity inclusion space.
It's still interesting to hear because you always want to have a supportive leadership team. Unfortunately, not everyone has it. So is there any potential barriers that you could have foreseen and any perhaps tools, tricks and insight that you could, you know, help the listeners to probably understand to help them in their own businesses?
Absolutely. And you know what? Like I said, I've got that support from the senior leadership team and I'm very fortunate of that. But it's not always plain sailing. There is lots of barriers that we do come up with every day in some of the initiative that we put forwards or the ideas. And I think for me, overcoming those barriers is being able to make sure that the case you're putting forward, your business case you're putting forward, your ideas, that you've covered every aspect of why this is important and you're really taking them on that journey of where it's going to take us. Because it's no good me just going and saying, right, I want to do this because I think this is the right thing to do. Because actually, although it is the right thing to do, that don't always cut it. You need to have other evidence to drive that forwards and to get that buy-in from the senior leadership team. So yeah, for me, to overcome those barriers is making sure that you've got that journey mapped out of where you want to get to and how you're going to get to it. Because your senior leadership team will buy into your initiatives, your ideas, if they've got the confidence that you're going to be able to deliver that and what is the outcome that's going to come from it. So I think that would be for me, and it would be getting them involved, having the visibility of the senior leadership with you. So I mentioned Making Ground, the prisoner engagement program. You know what? Get your senior leadership team to sort of come along to those prisoner engagement sessions. So I think that would be the sort of main point for me.
It is just thinking about the leadership team in many ways. How much do you believe they could be or are influenced by clients and wider stakeholders? Is there a driver from that perspective as well, together with the internal drive that you've seen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, for me, the driving force comes from lots of different angles. Mm-hmm. We want to be the organisation that is leading from the front. So we obviously work with lots of different clients who have lots of different asks, and they have asks of us, they have asks of our supply chain, of our suppliers. I'm really proud to say that we don't just do that because it's one of the asks from sort of key stakeholders. We do that because we want to bring our supply chain on the journey with us, because if we are genuinely want to making change in our sector, it can't just be driven by us. We need to everybody's buy-in, not just our senior leadership teams, not just our clients. We need our supply chain senior leadership teams too. Yeah. And to do that, we need to bring them along on the journey. We need to share our best practice with them. We do that in a number of different ways. We deliver lots of different workshops with them. We get them involved in our training opportunities that we've got. We sort of share any other opportunities that we've got that they can sort of get involved in, so that it helps upskill them as well. So we're not just saying we're Kia, we're awesome, we do all this the right way. We're saying, you know what, we've got experience doing this. Come and learn from us. Let us help you. And that has been a really great thing for engagement with our supply chain, because I think gone are the days where we just say to our supply chain, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's more of, look at what we're doing. Do you want to come and help us? Can we help you get to this position as well? And I think that's been a really great thing that's happened over the last couple of years in our business.
Was there initial barriers or reluctance in many ways from the supply chain to kind of get involved and learn, or was it pushing on open doors but people just didn't have the knowledge or even sometimes the language to understand initially?
Do you know what, initially I think our supply chain were a little bit reluctant. I mean, I've been leading this team for almost 3 years now, and I think if I go back 3 years and I wanted to do what we do now with the supply chain, I wouldn't say it was a sort of a closed door that we got from them, but it was, like I said, there was that genuine reluctance to sort of engage, because I think it was, they were just used to that, right, oh no, it's another thing that Kia want us to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas we've really come at it from a different angle, and we've put a lot of work into building those trusted relationships with our supply chain, so that they're not getting the feeling of, yeah, it's just something we want you to do. It's actually, no, come and join us. So now, and now we've like I say, we've taken that time to build those relationships. We're at a stage now where I'm getting our supply chain to reach out to me, and they're like, Donna, what can we do with this? Or we're doing this activity. Do you think that this can relate to this opportunity, and so on and so on? And it's so refreshing that it is now a one team workforce. And we try to not just refer to them as our supply chain anymore, because working on our projects, it is a one project, and everybody involved is that workforce. And I think we are genuinely seeing the collaboration piece much better recently. I mean, couple of weeks ago, we held a supply chain briefing day, and the topic was social sustainability, which, Rich, that just shows you where we are, where we've come to, the fact that we've got a whole day dedicated to social sustainability to help educate our supply chain partners on what's important and sort of how they can sort of up their activity in this space. And honestly, the day was absolutely fantastic. The feedback has been awesome. And our supply chain, there was that genuine interest in, we want to be better. We want to do this. How can we do that? I'd got them reaching out on our diversity inclusion activities, and then also on the social value aspect as well. How can we monitor and measure our data better? So it was great to see such an interest in this space. And like I say, it's not just that we want to do it because Kia's asking us. We want to do it because it's the right thing to do, and we know that it's going to help our business move forward and be successful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And as you say, that's a big change from just 2 or 3 years ago, you know, getting people around the table for a full day to have that investment, because it is a challenge sometimes.
Absolutely. We got over 100 of our supply chain in that room, Rich. It was fantastic.
That's amazing. And that these are the things which really shone when we done the audit. You know, it was really, it wasn't the fact you were saying you were doing it. It was the fact you could see it was embedded. You could see you were driving change. But it's a two-way process. And that's what I think everybody would want to see, because it becomes a fairer society for all, doesn't it?
100%. And I'm so proud that came across in our audits, because it's not just something we say we do, as you say. It is. We genuinely practice what we preach. And I had no qualms whatsoever with going out to our supply chain and just saying, we're going through Quality Mark, would you be involved in audits? And you know what, I've been through a few different Quality Mark audits over the years, and this was the easiest one that I've been able to do with our supply chain, because it was just a yeah, absolutely, no problem. Whereas previously it's been like, what do you need me to do, what am I going to get asked? Whereas they were like, yeah, no worries.
Love it. It puts a smile to my face. It really does. So just a couple of things. I was thinking that obviously you're one person, you know, a very influential person, but one person. How have you encouraged other people to get involved? I'm aware that you've got some champions, and you've done some aspects around, you know, EDI and different roles and responsibilities. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you said, Rich, I'm one person, but I do like to think that I'm a good driving force for sort of the sector that I'm in. And I've been able to make, obviously, quite a bit of difference, which is fantastic. And since I've moved into the transportation business, which has been over almost 3 years now, I've been able to make genuine change. And one of those genuine changes I've made is that I've now got lots of dedicated resource in this space. So I've got, including myself, my team is 8 strong now, which is fantastic. We cover a huge area, but 8 people dedicated to delivering social sustainability is absolutely fantastic in just the transportation business alone. So that's not Kia group wide, that's just transportation. And then on top of that, we've been able to embed inclusion champions across our business, and those inclusion champions, we have them on every single contract that we've got, the minimum of 1 on all the contracts, and they are our support service, if you like. They are our people on the ground who are helping us drive the diversity and inclusion initiatives forwards and getting the messages out to people. Because as you say, I'm only one person and my team, they cover different areas, so they can't be everywhere at once. So these inclusion champions are so integral to us getting the right messages out and getting that increased engagement between our teams, and which is allowing us to genuinely make a difference and sort of be a change for positivity in our organisation in sort of respect of diversity inclusion. So yeah, that's been fantastic. And I think we have, last count, we were about 63 inclusion champions in our business. And as I said, we're a transportation business, 63 dedicated inclusion champions who do it as an extra to their day job is fantastic. And they're the ones that make sure that any initiatives that we've got sort of coming up, they promote them on the ground to the people on the contract. They come to regular meetings with us, sort of feeding back any initiatives that the contracts want to do themselves, because that's been one of the great changes. Not all the initiatives come from us anymore. It's great that some of the contracts are now getting to the stage where they're like, we want to do this. How can we make this work, Donna? And it's like, wow, look at that transformational change for a business. It is, it's brilliant. So that's been a really, really great thing that's driven the topic forwards for us.
So it is thinking of the impact actually of yourself and the wider team. How has that transpired into recruitment and training and development? How have you seen that transpire? Was it still quite early days?
I think it's still relatively early days, but you know what, we are at a stage now where we are looking at the processes much better, especially in relation to recruitment. We're at a stage where we've implemented a new recruitment system that is much more accessible for candidates when they're wanting to apply for our vacancies. And we're taking into account different levels of diversity. We're taking into account that actually some people who apply for our roles maybe have a disability or are neurodivergent. So we've developed a system that is accessible for people, so that, you know what, if they need things in a different format, we can accommodate that. If we're doing, for instance, video interviews and we need to have something transcribed for somebody, we can do that. And these are all the things that we're looking at to make sure that we are genuinely making it easier for people to apply for roles in our business, because we've got absolutely lots and lots of vacancies. There's a huge skills gap. And we need to fill these vacancies. We need to get these people into the business, and we need to start making it easy for them. So the new recruitment system is one of the great ways that we've sort of changed. And I think that will only get much better.
And actually just taking that point a little bit further, really. So, you know, things are having an impact. Obviously, that will start to influence both how you do things in the future, hopefully, you know, level the playing field, should we say, with different genders and ethnicities, etc. But also thinking about then, if we were to fast forward 3 to 5 years from now, what would success look like? You mentioned more diverse, but is there a couple of almost two or three kind of highlights that would you say, yes, we've achieved, or yes, we can see that we've made genuine impact in this area?
I think so. And I think there's a few different ways that we could sort of count success, if you like. We are, in one way, relatively mature as a business, and to the fact that we're now looking at using our data better, so that we can highlight and identify the areas that we need to get better at. So things like gender pay gap, we're looking at things that come through on there, and we're seeing how we can make a genuine change with that. What processes we can put in place that are going to make a huge difference. And I think that would be really one real success if we can make a dent in that. Obviously, we've already said that the industry that we're in, historically, it is male orientated. Because we've been putting quite a lot of work into what comes out of our gender pay gap reporting, and really sort of nailing down on the areas we can have an impact, we're able to put lots of different processes in place. And I think we're not going to see changes today. We're not going to see changes tomorrow. But as you say, in the next couple of years or so, we might be able to sort of see those positive changes coming through. And that's the difference that we're going to be able to make. But I think another difference that we're going to be making, and I see it as a success, is just genuinely educational piece for our people in the business and also for the people in the communities where we're working. Because we don't just want to educate our people, we want to educate society. So that actually, as you said, Richard, it is a fairer society, and we can genuinely try and help tackle inequalities. So we're pulling together social mobility plans and things like that so that we can have these genuine changes. And I think all these lead to successes. And as I said, we're at a stage where we're looking at data better. We have a New Balance scorecard, so they're part of our KPIs moving forwards. And we're reporting on these each quarter. And these are going up to our Exco team. And that will go in our annual report. That's reported on quarterly to our Exco members, so that they can see where we are and how we are shifting the scale slightly.
And if there was one last message to the listeners today, if they were to start on a journey and realise that perhaps they could do better, what one piece of advice would you give them?
My one piece of advice is education. And that's educating yourself around this topic, and that will enable you to be able to educate your business for the better. And I think being in this kind of role, for me, I've learned that I'm not going to change the world straight away. I'm going to change it one step at a time. And I've got to remember that when I'm planting the seeds of these changes, I've got to remember that the seeds that I'm planting, they're not going to grow straight away. So you've just got to sort of be patient and just keep that consistent message moving forwards, that we do this for the right reasons and what the benefit is.
And that's a really good kind of takeaway, just to kind of bring the podcast to a close. Just actually having that momentum, just having those small steps can lead to big changes. May not be today, tomorrow, next week, next year. But actually, unless we start to change, actually we get the same results. And actually, why shouldn't everybody be included? There's no reason for that, you know. So actually, I really commend your work. And I say it's been an absolute pleasure to work alongside you for the last few years, and certainly to be able to, you know, present you with the award of Social Value Quality Mark Gold. So I really appreciate your time, Donna. Thank you very much. If anybody wants to get in touch with Donna or myself, please feel free to do it through the website, and we can pass your details on. I'm sure Donna will be absolutely fine to take any messages or provide any insight that can help others. Absolutely. But in the meantime, thank you very much, Donna.
Thanks a lot, Mitch.
And I look forward to seeing everybody in the next Value Positive podcast.